This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We just heard from Kirby Dick, the director of the new documentary, This Film Is Not Yet Rated. It challenges the Motion Picture Association of America's rating system and investigates the secretive ratings board. The members of the board are anonymous, but the chair is not. She is my guest, Joan Graves. I asked her why her board members are anonymous, although there is no anonymity on ratings boards in many other countries. She pointed out that in other countries, those boards are mandated by law, whereas the MPAA ratings board is a voluntary organization and films are submitted on a voluntary basis. A problem with the idea of anonymous film raters on the board is that there's no way of challenging whether the members of that board are a fair representation of parents or American society or anything, because we don't know who they are.
Well, we do. We're happy to provide demographics with everything but their name. In other words, their age, their children, their prior occupations and where they came from.
Are the parents on your board supposed to have any particular expertise in film or in the ratings of film? Are they media experts or child psychologists?
No, they're not.
Is that for a reason?
Yes, it's very specifically for a reason. They're supposed to rate a film the way they think most American parents would rate it. In other words, we're not supposed to set standards. We're supposed to reflect standards. So very definitely, they're supposed to represent parents, and all of us that are parents know that that our own children are very different. So if we can give information about the level of content in a film, then parents can make up their own mind about which of their children should see which film.
How does somebody get to be on the board? I mean, you don't run like classified ads,
in the job section
of the newspaper. How do people even know that there is such a thing?
Do you
go after people?
Sometimes we've gone after people, community leaders that have retired from boards of hospitals or libraries, and sometimes PTAs recommend people. They come to us from a wide variety of places. Usually, if someone calls up and asks to be on the rating board, many times he or she has a set agenda. So, and we don't want an agenda. We want someone that can reflect what they think most American parents would rate the film.
Now, on the ratings board, all the members are parents, and that's why they're selected. But on the appeals board, everybody on it, according to the movie This Film Is Not Yet Rated, everybody on that is tied in to the film industry, usually a representative of one of the studios or of one of the theater chains. What's the reason for that?
It was in 1968 when the system was formed. The members of the MPAA who were pledging to rate their product were a little bit concerned about a board that could have could run amok, and this was a check and balance. So if there were films that filmmakers questioned their rating, that they would have a place to go. But it's balanced in ways of a 2/3 vote requiring to override, and the standard is if the rating board appears to be clearly erroneous in applying the rating. Of the over 900 films we rate a year, less than 10 go to appeal, so it's not a process that's accessed very often.
Now, Kirby Dick discovered that there's a priest and a representative of a religious organization, I think it's the National Council of Churches, on the ratings appeals board. Why is that?
They are there as observers, and he's not a priest. But the Catholic Conference is represented in the National Council of Churches, and that is because when the system was formed in 1968, the church groups who had been very active in censorship boards across the country felt that the appeals board made up of industry types might be a little bit like the hen guarding the fox guarding the hen house. So they asked to be able to observe the appeals process, and Jack Valenti, who started the system, thought that would be a good way for them to assure themselves that everything is working as it should. They do not vote, and they do not make any comments. They're just there as observers.
So what's the point?
Well, just to assure their constituencies that the rating system has worked the way it was intended to work as parents giving information to other parents.
Why isn't there a rabbi or an imam or a Buddhist there too?
My understanding was that at the time the only people concerned about the rating system were the Catholics and the National Council of Churches that expressed some concern about the appeals process.
Do you think that they have a conservative effect on the appeals board? I mean, because like not everybody goes to see a movie is Catholic or religious.
No, I don't think they don't sit there in that way at all.
Yeah, well, I was wondering, I mean, the rating system was started nearly 30 years ago. And, you know, you're talking about that transitional time. So 30 years later, do you think that the church still needs to be reassured?
Not so much reassured, but I do know it's been very helpful to the system in some instances where Congress has been questioning how the system works. They've been able to testify and to be outsiders, as it were, to tell of their witness firsthand of the process.
As the chair of the Classification and Ratings Administration of the Motion Picture Association of America, do you feel like you can describe where the line is in sexual content between a PG, an R, and an NC-17?
Well, you know, it's a board decision, and films are viewed in context, and so our guidelines on to be found on our website describe the parameters of each rating. And usually, if sexuality or violence is very graphic, it's at least an R, and sometimes if it's in the opinion of the rating board, they think most American parents should think it should be out of bounds for children and it's patently adult, and then it would be NC-17.
Would you agree with Kirby Dick that gay sexuality is rated more restrictively than heterosexual sexuality?
I certainly don't see that. When you get graphic sexuality, no matter if it's heterosexual or homosexual, the graphics usually lead the board to a certain rating, and it's really the graphics of what it is rather than whether it's hetero or homo.
Does the board have a position on what is more potentially offensive or dangerous, whether it's like sex or violence?
No. You know, with each rating, there are parameters of each rating, and there is a limit to sexuality in one rating and a limit to violence in that same rating, and language as well, and drug content and anything else that a parent cares about. The good part of our ability to give information is that we're able to signal through our rating reasons what the element is that brings the film to that rating. So if something's rated R for violence, you know that the sexuality isn't at an R level. And within that R rating, if it's very, very strong violence, we try to indicate strong pervasive violence. In other words, we try to give the parents as much information within that certain rating as we can as well.
You actually sit in with the board and watch movies, right?
Yes, many times I do.
So what's it like to have to like develop these film watching habits where you're basically probably like timing the length of sex scenes and counting the number of people who have been killed? And
I'm sorry, we don't do that. We don't time them, and we don't count the numbers of people killed. We actually sit and watch the film the way a parent would. And you feel, as a parent, what you think most parents would think was the most appropriate rating for that film. We do have some rules that are articulated, the language rule and the drug content rule, that a use of the an F word is a PG-13 at the minimum, and more than one use is an R, and a sexual use is an R. And those are actual rules. We have very few rule. In other words, we don't have, if you show this for 2 minutes, it's this. Where there might be a misunderstanding is if a filmmaker does not want to release the film with a rating that we've given them, he or she can ask about different ways to edit the film or ask us what leads us to rate a film a certain way. And it's in those discussions where perhaps some misunderstandings evolve if they're passed on secondhand. For instance, if a sex scene or a long sequence of violence is one of the problems leading to a rating, naturally, one of the solutions to that, to get to another rating, is perhaps to cut down on the length so it won't permeate the film as much. But there's no timing on anything. It's just sometimes that's the way to give another impression of the film, is to reduce the content in some way, either in a graphic way or in a time way.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.
Joan Graves is the chair of the Motion Picture Association of America's Ratings Board.